You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
User joined your channel. User joined your channel.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
It's 9:11. Oh, it's 9:12 now.
I thought you said I was under strict instructions not to come in live stream. And you've gone in there. You've drawn me into room 11.
Well, I can't help it. I'm addicted.
I don't do it.
Don't let me speak about anything controversial, right? If I even start saying something that you don't like, then just, you know.
All right. Well, come on in. Okay. Yeah, we're here now. We've already started talking. So let's try and give it a go anyway.
Okay, let's give it a go.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, like, we've had a really good chat for the last, like, hour.
Oh, yeah. Maybe half an hour of that. It was good chat.
Yeah. So, now we're, like, having to make it sound better.
No. I think the best way to do it is to be relaxed and express yourself.
I'm relaxed.
As best you can, the more comfortable you are.
I'm comfortable. Are you comfortable?
Very comfortable. I'm sort of, that's hunched slightly forward. But yes, this cutting edge research we do here at live stream. Let's try and get around to some of that, shall we? Because we're saying interesting things. You're on the coast there, and you said there was a van that had crashed into the harbour there, or something. A car that had upended, gone in, and been rescued there. We talked about that thing out in Canada where five Britons were said to have drowned. Mm. I think probably, aren't they? That cold water. They're on a whaling trip. You said. Sailing boats like that way down from the cabin end or something, the wheelhouse end.
Yeah.
Classic way for them to get weighed down. It was like that, ended up in the water. So you thought that sounded feasible from what you knew. And you went on a whaling trip once and a whale came up right next to you.
Yeah. Oh, it went.
Just like you do on audio.
No, you really did. It went.
Alright. So we're not throwing Moby Dick out of the water here. We're not saying that. Well, he's been fucking spouting on for years. I mean, that must be a sort of, they pushed that one, the big white whale.
Oh, they did, didn't
myth.
They?
Yeah.
Well, that came from the Bible, probably.
There must have been an albino whale at some point.
Three days and three nights in the belly of a whale. I think that's in the Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's got to be true then.
Difficult to believe that one. Yes. I think science, but science can get you believing a lot of things, can't it? Science can get you, I mean, you go back to Aristotle. I mean, he had a point. It does look like ships are disappearing over the horizon.
He had a point.
We have to consider the real possibility that his point, they've been trying to prove the point ever since, with all the maths and everything. But in actual fact, that's the old science. You know, that's the primitive. I don't know.
So are we, honey? I mean, do you think that you're on flying through space at 65,000 miles an hour, following the sun, it's going even faster, and all that sort of shite.
Oh, God. I mean, we look at NASA, and we look at the complete...
No, but I'm just asking you.
What we're told about our planets and our solar system, no, absolutely, completely open for question. Completely. And absolutely. The whole model. It has been for a long time, hasn't it, really?
I know.
Did we think that a year ago?
Science
unraveled itself completely before us,
I remember as a kid thinking, what? Back then, in the 80s, It was pretty primitive, actually. You know, there was only us going up to Pluto, really. There wasn't much more after that. And
what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? In the 80s, it was pretty boring. There was only us going up to Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who went up to Pluto in the 80s?
No, the British. But that's...
Or the Scottish. Did they have some little mission that went up that I missed out on? They went to Pluto, did they? Oh, fantastic.
No, that's what they said was around then. And now, you know, I'm sitting here, 30 years later, and, oh, jeepers, there's like 300 billion different suns and, ugh.
Oh, yeah. Well, when we were younger when you were growing up in the 80s, when you were a child, there was the solar system, isn't there? Our solar system.
And the
planets. Not just Pluto. That was on the end, the little one, wasn't it?
That was the dubious one.
Mars is very famous. And now they're talking about Mars more than Jupiter. And they talked about it then. You got David Bowie did Space Oddity in 1969.
That was a
bit of promo, though. Mm. What, for that year of the Spain the moon landing?
Who
told Bowie to write that one? And go, oh, yeah, give David that one. Get David,
I like
yeah,
it.
Write a song,
oh, yeah.
Write a song about the moon, David. We'll get you to number one.
With his different coloured eyes.
Oh, I will. Yeah, he's a good guy. I mean, he's a clever guy and a great musician. So,
if you're getting that
sort of material, that's timing for you.
I know.
But maybe it's just luck that he wrote that song then. But he had Life on Mars, didn't he, in 71 as well.
Well, from what they tell us, that's not possible.
Anthropomorphizing Earth or whatever you'd say. No, sorry, the planets. It doesn't even make sense, but do you know what I mean?
No.
Making it seem like Earth, actually. Not making it seem like people, but making it seem like the Earth. Earthicizing the moon and the Mars. And then thinking about talking about aliens. So Bowie was doing that, wasn't he, though? He was promoting that. It was cool. It was trendy. It was like, oh, it was catchy. Is there life on Mars? Anyway, yeah. I sit here and above, I just got to think of that, because I sit here and above, I've got a picture disc of Hunky Dory on my wall behind my computer monitor.
Maybe,
yeah. Yeah, nice. I like a man with long hair. What can I tell you? Yeah. Probably something deep, subliminal and atavistic.
I like a man who's over 6'5".
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you need, probably. Probably just about the only kind of size of man that could hold on to you, darling. You're alive, why are you?
Well, especially at the rate we're supposed to be swimming at.
Exactly. Whirling around like that, you could bump into someone. You need a strong man.
I need somebody to hug on at my uncle's.
I just found out. I had a proper look at this. I had a proper look at the science. I never realised what was happening to what we were doing in the universe. So I had a look and I realised I'm spinning at 700 miles an hour. And travelling through space at 265, what is it? I don't know, million miles.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Or something. Yeah. Anyway, I'm spinning at a rate of knots, going round the sun. Moon's going round us. Yeah. Day and night. I don't know whether it's day or night.
You believe all that, do you?
Day and night. I think it's day and night, darling. Light and shade. It's black and white. Why did you bring me in live stream?
It's okay. We're doing okay so far. We haven't mentioned the losing ones.
Haven't mentioned the war. Yes, don't mention the war. Perhaps. Yes. Let's not do Second World War. And let's go on to another subject. That interests you. I just think all the science, it's unravelled. You know, I think that is amazing. I mean, that's been happening over the last couple
totally
of years.
Totally unravelled. Yeah.
A lot of it. You know.
Yeah.
Something so fundamental as. To me, it's
all sort of sprung from 9/11. And as far as, you know, the awakened ones and stuff goes.
Yeah, but aren't we fed it? Aren't we given it, though? You know, just as with 9/11, that there was truth there, that it wasn't right. Obviously not right. So you got Alex Jones there and whatever, and there's change. Isn't the Flat Earth movement, all these agents of it, that appears to be, you know, we have to see them as that. There is truth in there, perhaps, but they're definitely, where's it taking us? Where are they taking us?
Where has it taken us? Well,
I don't mean to be too suspicious. You know.
Well, you know, I mean, for me and you, who are, you know, in our late 40s, does it really matter? Because, you know, we're not going to see the, you know, the full...
how do you know? How do you know you're not going to in another form? You know, how do you know you're going to come back while there's this sort of life manifesting itself here?
Because I just
this
knew...
This experience of it, of existence. Because you just know. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't believe that we come back at all.
Yeah,
I'm
but
sorry.
Belief, that's a belief in itself, isn't it, Stan?
Well,
that you know
I don't,
don't
I just
back.
Don't believe yeah, so, that we come
enough.
Back.
I don't know anything on that
no,
one.
No, no, no. And if you want to believe that we come back, then fine.
No, no, no. You're telling me I believe we come back. I'm not saying I believe we come back at all. I'm saying I don't know. And you're saying I know.
No, I don't
think so. So I think it's just a simple point. You're being dogmatic, and I'm
I think
open-minded.
We are just.
You're being unscientific, and I'm being.
Yeah, I'm very unscientific. Yeah.
No, but I think don't you get my point though, Moj?
Oh, of course I do.
But you're saying we definitely don't. No, it's black. That's it. You're
well,
right,
that's my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Against that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got no evidence to back it up. No, but I've certainly haven't got any evidence to back up the other side.
Well,
consciousness. I mean, it's like a computer.
I had a friend. Yeah, I told you, I had a friend who died. And as far as I'm concerned, he was the only person in the world ever that would ever, ever even attempt to come back and try and make contact with me. You know, and I tried so hard and I was like, oh, come on, just give me a sign or something. And there was nothing at all, nothing. And I kind of really upset me because I kind of realised that there was no life after death, for fuck's sake. That's really what a stupid idea that is. And I know it's comforting for people when they do the whole... putting flowers and seeing things and I really miss you and all that. And I know it's comforting to think that they are. And but do they really know what heaven means? I mean, I don't think they do. If you read the Bible...
Yeah, but you're getting mixed up here. You're getting confused. Like you're going using the Bible as an example of an alternative to death, consciousness,
so you're, well, it doesn't matter. The only thing in this world that we've got, it says that, is the Bible.
Yeah, well, forget that, and forget mainstream science, and then I would like to have a conversation about what we sense, what we think we know about what's going on around us, and what we sense is going on in life, and what our experiences. Yeah. I've had different experiences when people have passed. I've had that experience that you've had where I didn't get a fucking sign. I didn't get anything. I didn't see anything. I didn't really try necessarily for it, but
I
didn't get one from my best friend. You know?
Aye, me
but
too.
But did I pick it up? Did I pick them up? And then when my grandmother died, I got what, I mean, amazingly, I found, you know, I had this chain of experiences and another friend died and I had the similar ones with similar signals for... So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I know what I felt very real. My experience, which I told you about before. But
thank you.
So my mind was opened, and I'd like to. And yeah, you know, my sense as well. My sense of it. My innate sense of it is that I'm not sure it's. I just think
feel
you might be
that. Okay, then.
You might be surprised, young lady.
It's obviously quite obscure, though.
Obscure what the signs you can get. I think they're kind of, I think nature gives us subliminal signs, or they seem like subliminals. Perhaps this is why these subliminals are used in advertising and things, because real power knows the true nature of the way we receive information. Perhaps we'd be able to pick up these real subliminal signs from nature more, you know, and I think that's perhaps more to it.
I told you this before, but I spoke to somebody and he says, yeah, I can hear him. And he was trying to make out to me that he was speaking to the dead people, and he just basically told me what I wanted to hear, you know.
Yeah. Well, this is it. These people muddy the water. They put a turd in the punch bowl. They put, you know, they piss in the wine. You know, they piss in the sherry of conspiracy.
Indeed.
Of alternative theory.
Yeah, I mean, you know, mediums. It just annoys me that, like, so, like, my best friend dies out of the blue, and we are connected, like, you know, at the hip, and I get nothing after that. I just get absolutely a void.
Well, I mean, effectively, it is, isn't it, in the sense that he's never going to be physically there again.
No, he's not.
In the short term, not in your lifetime, so to speak, you know.
But
if someone gets taken quickly, you know, boom, it might.
If
be
there
like
was
that.
Afterlife, I mean, you know,
so shocked.
He could, you know, give me a wee bit of a kick in the ass one night and see I'm still here.
I'm not sure.
So
maybe
that's
you
the
know,
whole.
I've been doing things where I've been playing a song.
I've got a huge problem with that. Like, it's like,
you can't kick someone in the ass, but you could do something. I don't know.
Move a glass off of a table or something. Like, maybe. They're doing the Ouija boards and stuff.
But, you know, what are we trying, what are we expecting? Some almost supernatural act of remote moving.
Anyway,
something.
I suppose, for me, I just wanted to have the last word. And I didn't.
And you didn't. Well, that's very honest. Yeah. So it was always kind of unresolved because last time you saw him, he'd said to you, he'd given you the V's and said, "Bossa," or something, and you hadn't been able to get your last word in. No, it wasn't as bad as that, I'm sure.
No, it wasn't. No, but I've been through the whole
terms.
Fucking charade of afterlife, and you know, there's absolutely no way
spirituality.
There's no way that he's even trying to speak to me at all.
He can't do it. Perhaps he's one that can't do it. Perhaps you're not receptive to it. You know.
Oh, right. Okay. So you think some are.
Well, I think possibly, yeah. I don't know. But, or maybe, you know, they are the kind of people that can convince themselves.
I've had some dreams.
Oh, you see? That's interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think, I mean, for sure, I think there's things that mainstream science does not tell us that it knows. Now, whether it knows all the answers, I don't think it does.
Oh.
But I'm sure there are things within the supernatural or the, you know, that outside our understanding. I mean, you know, perhaps the world isn't a ball, they told us. Well, you know, as we know, that's just the beginning. What's real science?
The matrix.
Well, maybe science was right. Maybe the Bible didn't get it right about the earth being flat. Maybe they're right about spirituality as well. Maybe they maybe religion, mainstream religion, hijacked these two real things, you know. And,
well,
or something.
What do you mean mainstream?
Well, religion is mainstream. All the religions I'm talking about are mainstream, aren't they?
Well, Buddha came before all that.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I didn't want to come in here again tonight.
Yeah, let's
can we sign off? Well, can we sign off this this brief show? Have you had enough? Can we do?
Yes.
Can we do it? All right. Yeah. Thanks. All right.
Thanks.
Tom and Mojo show. Yeah. Don't mention
bye
the
bye.
War. Episode
don't
3.
Don't mention the Jews.
Yeah, we'll wait for the mix. Good night. Love you all, everybody.
Okay. Like. Bye.
User left your channel. User disconnected from your channel. User joined your channel. User left your channel. User joined your channel.
Microphone activated.
All right, here we are on Ab's beautiful channel. What's it called? It's called fakeologist.com. It's the audio chat. It's not radio. I'm so fucking thrilled with what I heard this morning, which was Chris Kendall talking to Neil deGrasse Tyson's professor, bullshitter, professional bullshitter, same as the bullshit that Neil deGrasse Tyson puts out, same as NASA puts out. Let's do a DVD commentary on old mate, fat boy Scott Kelly, potato in space. Ab, it's up to you whether you put this out or not, but I think it's worthwhile.
I'm absolutely disgusted in NASA. I think they are a waste of space. That's my new NASA slogan. For anyone who's anti-NASA, NASA is a waste of space. Everybody, say it with me. NASA, you're a waste of space. Anyway, let's play a little bit of this. I love the way they go commander. Commander, like he's like an appeal to authority. I always love everything I've been taught on Fakeologist's website and the Simon's Clues Forum. These appeals to authority. Commander.
Station, this is MSNBC. How do you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. Welcome aboard the space station.
Well, love being with you and chatting with you, Commander Kelly. Want to start off by saying huge congratulations on your first ever spacewalk. So huge congratulations on that. You left the space station to get some maintenance chores done. You had a long laundry list, if you're going to call it that, of things to do. 7 hours, over 7 hours. But did you take a moment before having to knock all those out to kind of soak it all in and really realize how exhilarating it really is when you stepped outside?
Yeah, there were certain times when there was a little downtime that I could appreciate the view. One was when we opened up the hatch, and it took us a little while longer to get outside. So I had the view of the Earth down below, and that was pretty spectacular. You know, it's kind of hard to describe the difference in the view when you're just looking through the thin pane of glass of the helmet versus three panes of glass here through the window of the space station or the space shuttle.
Okay, so anyone who's obviously this is radio and not video. There he is. He's doing his typical, as Ab says, upside down. So he's red in the face. He's got a harness on because I've seen the Chris Hadfield where you can actually see it. So this isn't actually live. They say it's live, but it's not. Where they paint the actual harness wires out. So there he is. He's doing his little bounce up and down thing. So he's on to MSNBC, and there they're going, oh my God, Space Commander, you are your first spacewalk after like 365 days in zero gravity. I want to know, where do they keep all the food? And they are always floating through this thing. Where do they keep all the food? And all the water. There's got to be a ton of water up there. I mean, to drink and food. Do they keep sending rockets up there? And this whole thing that he's in with all the wires and cables sticking out everywhere and they're floating through is absolutely got to be an absolute hazard of a foot getting hooked in something or this, that, and the other. Complete and utter bullshit. Anyway, keep going, Commander.
It's pretty spectacular.
And with all the extraordinary things that you do on a daily basis, do you still have those pinch yourself moments where you kind of sit back maybe at that time and kind of go, you know what, this is pretty darn cool?
There we go. That's MSNBC.
You know, I sometimes think just when I'm doing my everyday work here, you know, going from one place to another
MSNBC
and all the important things
we do,
find it hard to believe that I'm actually living on the space station, and I've been here since March.
He finds it hard to believe? Because he is not believing.
And, you know, that's been the case with all my flights. This is really a privilege to be able to do this. And I think, you know, the most of the folks, anyway, that have a chance to do this recognize it as a privilege.
There we go. Go back again.
Just when I'm doing my everyday
moments where you kind of things that you do on a daily basis. Do you still have those pinch yourself moments where you kind of sit back maybe at that time and kind of go, you know what, this is pretty darn cool?
There you go. That's MSNBC. This is pretty darn cool. But she wants emotion out of him. Okay, you've taken your first spacewalk after being 365 days in zero gravity. There are so many things that can go wrong with this thing. There are so many questions, important questions to be asked. No, we're getting this. Kiddie stuff.
You know, I sometimes think just when I'm doing my everyday work here and, you know, floating from one place to another and doing all the important things we do, I find it
what
hard
important
to believe
things do
that
you
I'm
do?
Actually, you know, living on the space station, and I've been here since March. And, you know, that's been the case with all my flights. This is really a privilege to be able to do this. And I think, you know, the most of the folks, anyway, that have a chance to do this recognize it as a privilege.
Privilege what? How do you eat?
Before you left, you said probably the toughest part or what you'll miss most is the human interaction. The contact with others. You've been
well,
in
there
over
are people up there too.
Consecutive days with limited human contact. Now that you're at this point, is it tougher than you thought it would be? Just as tough?
That's you know, it's hard to say when you think back to, you know, what your expectations were of I think anything in life. I definitely feel like I've been up here for a long time, almost like I have forgotten.
What an
what
odd
it's
thing to
like
say.
To
I definitely feel like I've. I feel like I've been. He says all these strange sort of things. I think and I think about this. And I have to pinch myself. It feels like a movie and all this sort of thing. As he's hanging upside down with all the blood rushing to his head on a trapeze type thing. Anyway, keep going.
On Earth and do, you know, certain, you know, all the stuff we get to experience,
you know, we don't
on
know.
Earth.
You,
and I
you
recognize
know?
That I have a
Why
long time,
you know, all the time
ahead of me.
No, we don't know.
You know, but having said that, I think I'm pretty sure I'm going to get through it without much issues.
There he is. He's like in vacuum of space, floating around in something, and he hasn't got the worry in the world. The only worry he has to worry about is a vein popping in his head because he's hanging upside down. That's the only worry he has to worry about. Keep going.
How is that for you, knowing you're literally worlds away and there's the detachment and you hear and see all the things that are happening here on Earth, world events, news events, presidential politics and the race for president? We saw your Instagram picture of Hurricane Patricia, but knowing that there is that detachment that you can't.
Anyone who's knows anything about Hurricane Patricia, the Furricane Patricia, like a little bit of rain, a little bit of wind. Typical media, mainstream media bullshit at work. And they're laughing at me. They're laughing at you. They're laughing at all of us. Rubbish.
Is part of it. Is that tough for you at all?
Thinking.
You know, that's a good question. I think in some ways you have a different a sense of being, you know, an audience for the things that happen on Earth. And you feel detached from it, and I think as a result you pay more attention to it with kind of a different level of attention, maybe, you know, more empathy, more trying to, you know, understand why certain things happen and why we are the way we are and do things that we do. You know, it's
why you lie the way you do.
That, you know, I feel like I have, and, you know, and I think it's because of we are not on Earth.
You're fucking out in space in your bloody mind. You're a disgrace in space. That's what he is.
Well, it's fascinating, your view and how you share it with us on your Instagram feed. I'm your newest follower because it is fascinating. And loved your flu shot that you gave yourself. Interesting, it's part of the mission with your twin brother also getting.
She loves the flu shot he gave himself. He loves us. It's not enough that they're lying to us. They're going to have to promote bloody vaccinations as well. Let's hear that again.
Here's as part of the twin study here. And also, you're interesting, it's part of the mission with your twin brother also, how you share it with us on your Instagram feed. I'm your newest follower because it is fascinating. And love your flu shot that you gave yourself. Interesting, it's part of
So it's all flu shots and he's on Instagram and he's tweeting every second of the day. What about old mate, the Canadian guy, we loved him because obviously I'm talking on fakeologist.com right now, Chris Hadfield playing the guitar up there and, oh, yes. Get any science? What should we ask some science questions of when you got in your big fat suit? I mean, it's not as if you're fat enough already. They might have had to make a special fat suit for this guy. And, then they squeeze you out of the door if you can actually fit out the door on this. And do they actually have sort of, to get you out? Why, that's an interesting question. A door that closes and then have him waving in his fat suit and then opening another door. Or do they just open the door to space? Because we know it's all fiction. So why not just open the door to space and go out? Because then the only thing they're going to worry about then is bubbles coming out of the suit, because it's a underwater thing. Otherwise, we might be able to see stars one day. Come on, show us some stars when you're on a spacewalk. No, it's all underwater. Come on, keep going, fat boy.
The mission with your twin brother also getting his as part of the twin study here, and also your space burger in that as well. So, you know, it's funny that you kind of have your sense of humor up there with you, too.
How many space burgers has this boy eaten?
You know, I think, you know, we have an obligation to share, you know, what we do here. And, you know, certain things like...
You didn't share it, we wouldn't believe it.
And, you know, certain, like, daily life activities, I think... You know, that, you know, people appreciate. So, you know, I try to do that as much as I can and as much as my spare time allows. And it's, you know, it's something
I enjoy. Are you kidding? It's the only thing you do is you're on your bloody Twitter and doing these bullshit things. What else do we see you do? Playing with colored space bubbles. What else are you doing, Scott Kelly, up there? Eating your bloody space Big Macs. Come on. Or shitting in or pooping in your space poopers. Ridiculous human being. Oh, you've got away with it, NASA. You waste of space. Keep going.
And how about the space burger? Was it good? And if not, what are you looking forward to the most when you get back as far as the eating or doing?
I hope he's looking forward to coming down to Australia, finding where Rollo is, and punching him in the face. I'd love to have a meal with Scott Kelly, a nice vegan meal with Scott Kelly, and just... Hopefully, just talk through the bullshit.
Well, you know, his space burger was not a Earth burger, so it definitely wasn't as good. but as far as, you know, stuff to do, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to the freedom that we have. And I think I appreciate my freedom now more than I've been up there this long. You know, the ability to just walk outside, the ability to decide, you know, what you're going to do on a certain day. You know, our schedule is pretty much planned out for us, you know, minute by minute most of the days. And, you know, there's a reason for that, and it makes sense. But it still, I think, causes you to really appreciate the freedom you have to choose what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, that most people, you know, free people on Earth enjoy at least, which, you know, we are a part of that in the United States. So, you know, it's something I definitely don't take for granted, maybe as much as I did before doing this, and something I look forward to.
Minute for minute. But plenty of time to talk to kids and that and the other. What about the Soyuz rockets that come up, and do they bring you all that food, all those space burgers and space water? Like, seriously, and how did this thing get bloody put together in the first place? Do we see any footage of that? Come on, Scott. Explain to me how this thing got started. So they went up there with one piece, okay, and then they put another piece onto it, and then another piece, and then they put all the 11 your sort of what do they call the solar whatever energy makers or whatever it is? Where do we see that actually getting made in space? It's much as believable as like man driving around in a car on the moon. Ask NASA how the hell they got a car to the moon on the LEM. I mean, they could barely get out on their spacesuits, get down the ladder on their own. No. They're driving around on a car on the moon. It's just as believable as the ISS, which is not believable. It's ridiculous. But let's listen to this pig in space carry on. And the same pig who's asking the stupid questions at MSNBC. Let's listen.
I like watching the presidential debate last night. Were you able to catch it?
Oh, so they're going to talk about the presidential debate.
You know, we were pretty tired after that EVA, but I did see some of it on the news here that we have TV news running, so I saw some of the highlights.
Makes sense. Why not?
Yeah, but I can imagine a 7-plus-hour spacewalk with all that list of lubricating the tips and getting all that grease.
Oh, there's always time for lubrication.
A little bit busy and might wear you out just a little bit. Commander Kelly, thank you so much again. Congratulations on that spacewalk, and best of luck to you. I hope to speak with you again.
Thank you very much.
So,
thank
what
you.
Is that gap
thank
there?
Stay well.
Remember that when they were talking on the moon?
Station, this is Houston ACR.
Here we go again.
The MSNBC portion of the event. Please stand by for a voice check from Time Magazine.
Oh, we got Time Magazine on the line.
Time Magazine, how do you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear, Shaul. Help me.
God, it's great, great to hear your voice. Congratulations on the spacewalk yesterday. Take me back to that moment where the hatch opens and it all reveals and it gets going.
Okay, take me back to that moment where the hatch opens. Now, again, do they have the bit where Scott gets into the hatch? Show us that bit. And then they close him off because there's a vacuum of space, right? Let's see that. I haven't seen that yet, but come on.
You know, we were early, so I actually wasn't sure whether we were going to open up the hatch in daylight or dark.
He's, by the way, if you can't see this, he's grabbing his earlobe and he's scratching himself all over the face. Looks as guilty as shit. He just does not know how to.
Yes, I wasn't quite sure what time of day it was. The hatch doesn't have a window in it. So when I, you know, cranked it open and it, you know, started coming up to see the sunlight come in was, you know, it was pretty pretty spectacular. And then to have the hatch open and you know, for the time we did before we went outside and, you know, just look at the Earth, it's...
Why has he got two watches?
Yeah, it's really hard to describe. It was... More impressive, more brilliant looking through the helmet than I expected it to be. So, yeah, it was pretty spectacular.
Oh, God, he's excited.
After hundreds of hours of training and years, I guess, of anticipation for the first one, how different is it than being in the pool, dropping into the real one?
That's a good question, actually.
You know, the other thing I was actually surprised about, which I wasn't expecting, was how similar it is to the pool. You know, most of the stuff is very much the same. How you how you work, how you manage your tethers, how you feel in the suit, how the gloves feel. You know, the difference with this is, you know, the fact that you're,
go
you know, 250 miles above the Earth, flying around at 17,500 miles an hour in a vacuum, and you know, extremes of temperatures,
airbrush
and
all the bubbles out.
You know, the all the other things that environment brings, and you know, if you put that part of it out of your mind, it's actually, you know, really quite similar to working in the pool. The pool's a great environment for right. training us.
Cognitive distance.
One thing, Scott, that's different is we were here in Houston watching every moment, and I was worried for you. It's real. After 7 hours, how relieved and how tired were you getting?
I was worried for him because, yeah, he would have been out there in his spacesuit for 7 hours. I mean, surely he would have wanted another one of those space burgers in that time. But, no, God love you. I just watched South Park last night. Apparently, we're not allowed to have a go at people. We've got to have a safe space now. So if you, any of you, watch the new South Park where, yes, you have to have a safe space. Because probably what I'm saying now against Commander Scott Kelly for being short, overweight, blind, bow-legged, and has no business being in space, should be in a, I would say, in a Walmart on a motorized cart, is hate speech somehow. But not to me it isn't. This guy is a total fraud, a total liar, and NASA is a waste of space, a total lying organization, and I'm about to embark on a real journey in the month of November. Let's listen to this guy a little bit more.
Back in there.
Yeah, so, you know, we're pretty tired. It's, you know, physically, it's tough in some ways, especially on your hands.
Is he a heroin addict? He's scratching himself,
you know,
all over the place.
I think most of the fatigue comes from the, you know, the amount of attention you're paying to what you're doing and, you know, trying to have 100% focus for, you know, not only the 7.5 hours or so we were outside, but you know, our day started at 6 a.m. and we got right into the activities for getting into the suit. By the time we got outside, I think it was about, you know, 12 p.m. our time. And then, you know, 7 hours later, by the time we were out of the suits, it was and cleaning up, it was 9 o'clock at night of, you know, 100% focus. So I think that part of it is what makes it most fatiguing.
That's why he's scratching himself all over the place, because he hasn't had a shower, a proper shower or bath in, like, in 12 months. No, it's not that, because we know it's fake. Look at him. He's scratching himself. He really is. He's a mess.
Moving on, Scott, NASA discovered water on Mars and announced that not long ago while you're up there. How much did that affect you? Your one-year mission is also part of the push to get to Mars. Was it personal? Was it special? Or was it different to receive the news up there?
What's he going to say to this? One, I haven't listened to this. Let's listen. What's it going to be? The water on Mars thing is just the most retarded thing. Here we go. What's Scotty? Commander Scotty, I'm going to put my salute. I'm saluting him right now. What's he going
to
say?
Well, you know, I think it's exciting to find a discovery like that, that there is liquid water on Mars. We knew there was, you know, frozen water. You know, water is obviously very important to life. And, you know, when we go to Mars, we'll need water, and it'll be great if we don't have to bring it with us. But, you know, weight is very expensive to orbit. And if we can, you know, tank up while we're there, you know, that'll, you know, drive the cost down for getting to Mars and maybe hopefully make it a lot closer. You know, we follow a lot of the news up here and the space news, the flyby of Pluto, water on Mars, you know, other things like that are very exciting to us, especially those that put us closer one day, like, you know, I hope this mission does to sending people to Mars.
So there we go. The weight of water. It's exactly what I was saying before. Where is all the water on the space station? They've got how many people supposedly up there? 7 or 8 or 9. I'm not too clued in on to how many they've got up there. I just know what I see, that it is just an absolute dog's breakfast. Where's all the food up there? All the food. I see just little bits here and there, little cuts. Okay, yeah, here I am playing with bubbled water with a super-duper camera like that. It's rubbish. It's rubbish, and they've got away with it. How do they continue to get away with it? Because people are treating NASA as a religion, as a as like a belief system. Now, again, I have no belief in God or in theism. I'm not an atheist. I'm not a theist. I'm a non-theist, if anything, which means I think it's all crap. Same with these guys. I don't believe in any of this shit. It's except that they're liars. Same with bloody most priests are liars. Like Jared Fogle, I read in the news this morning. You know, he's a pedo and all that. It just sounds like lies to me. Either he is or he isn't. But like, oh yeah, let's put that in the news. Let's promote that. This is just disgraceful. You know what people have said to me? Turn off the TV, Rollo. Turn it off. Anyway, keep going.
I know you love what you do, and it's amazing. Can you tell me, though, one day or one moment where you really said, God, I wish I was home?
Yeah, you know, there are those moments. You know, they're mostly personal in nature that I probably wouldn't share here. But I think we all have them at times. But for me, I do feel like this is a privilege, you know, not only to be here for a whole year, but, you know, just to have the.
Wouldn't you think a guy that wanted to be an astronaut his whole life, you'd say something like, I'm home now. I'm at home now. Here I am on the space station. I'm an astronaut. Every dream of mine has come true. I'm at home. But no. This guy is not an astronaut. He's a fat little piggy, a brother-in-law of Gabby Gifford, a total liar, fraud, doesn't know how to not to say, you know, every goddamn sentence, you know this, you know that. This guy is useless. He's media. He's not media savvy. And he's fat, he's short, he's overweight, and he's he can't see, he's blind. He's every business not to be in space. Scott Kelly, you're a disgrace to space.
Have the chance to fly in space in general and, you know, represent my country, you know, formerly when I was in the Navy, represent the Navy.
So you're doing it for all mankind, for all humankind. You're doing it for NASA, for all humankind. Oh, now you're just doing it for America, right? We're all living in America, America. I'm on top of the world. Hey, I'm on top of the world. Hey, I'm Scott Kelly on top of the world. Hey!
As an astronaut working in a program that's, you know, very important for us, our future, you know, and an international program, which has really been one of the highlights
of
this
international,
you know, space station partnership.
Since you left, I find myself often tracking the ISS app and kind of looking for you to make a pass. I feel connected. I look at the space station. On the flip side, do you guys ever up there kind of feel like you're looking at Earth as your whole life is up there and we're like the spaceship, or does that make sense to you?
Catching again.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you definitely feel like, you know, there's a window right here that looks right down on the Earth. It's so actually open now. It's dark. Not sure exactly where we are, but you definitely
feel
like...
Come on, show us. There we go. He's pointing down to a window. Show us. We've said it before. It was a super cloudy day. Remember the day that you were in your fat suit out there? I saw it. Rubbish.
You're here, and everyone else, and everything that you care about and love,
look,
and
right there,
you know, is important to you, is down there. And I think it gives you a different, you know, a different perspective, a little bit more. You know, I find myself like following the news and things that go on Earth more closely, and it actually has a more of a personal feeling to it. I guess, you know, I said in the previous interview, a little bit more empathy, I think, and.
As if this guy even knows what empathy means. Empathy. Why are you even bringing empathy into this? What are you talking about?
You know, just because you realize everything else is over there, and just gives a little bit different perspective.
Does it ever get lonely up there?
No, I wouldn't say, you know, I wouldn't say lonely. You know, we have the ability to interact, you know, electronically, to talk on the phone. So, you know, that provides an outlet for those kind of feelings. You know, we get along great as a crew.
So there are other supposed astronauts up there with you, right? Like, just the other day, there was, like, you came through shot with that other dude in there. Where's he going with this?
True, and, you know, I really appreciate the time I, you know, get to spend with my other crew members here, but at the same time, you know, you do miss, you know, people on Earth that are important to you, and, you know, more of a variety of interaction, but I wouldn't call it loneliness.
You are obviously doing the one-year mission with Misha. How is your relationship with him kind of unraveling itself as time goes by, as the days tick away?
Unraveling. It is unraveling. We know that it's a fraud. This is a total fraud. Unraveling. Yes, good word.
I wouldn't use the word unraveling. I would use, you know, more of, you know, our bond is stronger. You know, we recognize we're in this
stronger
together, and, you know, we call each other brother. My 1 year space brother, Misha. So he's doing great, and I couldn't be up here with a better person to do this with.
What's one of the greatest moments you've had up there? Something, if you can describe a moment that you just said, "Wow, this is still amazing. I love this."
In hard, I'd say, like, as a human male, gotta be bloody horny. So having sex in space has got to be up there. There's a woman up there. How do you have sex in space? Come on. But who'd have sex with him? The man. And the woman with her space perms. Ah, oh dear. It's all too horrible. The lies are too big, too horrible. So he's still thinking about it. Do you want to hear the question again? Let's hear the question again. I just spoke all over it.
If you can describe a moment that you just said, "Wow, this is still amazing. I love this."
You know, certainly, you know, doing a spacewalk is the highlight, but it's not, or one of the highlights. I'll tell you what the other one is here in a second. But it's not like this fun kind of thing, you know, that you would think it is. You know, it's very challenging, you know, mentally, somewhat physically. It's you know, it's hard work, and I think
mentally, somewhat physically, it's hard work. I mean, you're in zero gravity. I mean, mentally, yes, you're hanging upside down, and you've got a head full of blood, and yeah, you have to be somewhat fit to manage that for like 5 or 10 minutes on a trot. But yeah, keep going.
It's that type two kind of fun that you say, oh, that, you know, a few weeks later, a few months later, you said, you know, that thing that I did really hard, like, you know, climbing Mount Everest, that was a lot of fun. You don't think it's kind of fun when you're doing it. It's definitely, you know, an experience to remember, but, you know, not like what a lot of people would think it would be like. But
He's constantly scratching himself while he's actually answering this question. So I am still questioning if he is a heroin addict. I'm definitely sure that this motherfucker has never climbed Mount Everest, even thought about doing that. The hardest part about what he's doing is lying through his teeth. He's just a liar.
Highlight is, you know, just being able to participate in this and, you know, do it with a great team. Not only the folks here, but not only my crewmates, but all the people on the ground that make these missions happen. That's really the highlight for me.
You've been there for 215 days. You're about to break the record for the longest American continuous flight. How are you holding up, and how does it feel kind of being so long away and being out not on Earth?
Yeah, so, you know.
So there's a great question, isn't it? How's it feel? So not one single, not even slightly technical question about what you were doing out there, like reversing the polarity of the neutron flow of the hexon field of the of that beautiful special metals and things like that that they were doing out there. Nothing like that, because they weren't doing anything out there doing anything. It's all science fiction, science fraud, science fiction, science fraud. Kelly, you're a fraud, and you keep going.
What's Earth? I kind of forgot what it's like to live down there, it seems like. And I'm being sincere. You know, there are certain, like, senses and things that I'm like, wow, that seems like so long ago.
Bullshit.
And, you know, I also look at it like I have a long ways ahead of me, too. You know, the other day we figured out, I was like, the other crew that's up here with us, Chell, Kimmy, and Oleg, we kind of crossed over at, we both had 61% left, and that was a few days, you know, like last week. And you know, now they have less time percentage left than I do. That was our crossover point. And so I do recognize I've been up here a long time, long way to go, but I don't think it'll be any issue me making it to the end with the same, you know, level of enthusiasm and energy I had going into this.
Scott, thank you very much. Just a warm, big hug from Jonathan, Christina, and me here, and everyone at Time. We miss you, and we'll see you when you're back. Thank you.
Thanks. Look forward to seeing you guys, too, and great talking to you.
Same here.
Station, this is Houston ACR. Thank you. That concludes the event.
Oh, I tell you. I believe that. Wait, NASA has just put up Devin. NASA has just put up 7 Martian videos or whatever it is of people trying to make sure that people see them as a what do you do, like, to children? Daddy, mummy, what do you do when you go to NASA? Anyway, we'll end off with, end off with David Bowie. Ashes to ashes to NASA. When they put them in the fire kiln at the end of the day, ashes to ashes. But I'm hoping to kick with the planet is glowing. Ashes to ashes and bucket to bucket. We know Major Tom to junkie, strung out in heaven's mind, hitting at all times low. Stuck with a valuable friend. Hold your hand.
or smoking crystal.
My mother said to get things done, you better not mess with Major Tom. Thank you, Ab. If you put this to air, good. If you don't put it to air, good. It's all good. So, yes, I will not be seeing you guys for a month now. I'm off away on trip over to NZ and other places. So, yeah, and I'm not taking any electronic devices with me. I won't be on Twitter or anything like that. So, yeah, you guys have fun for the next month. November, number 11. I'll see you back in December, God willing, if there is one, which there isn't. Okay, over now. Goodbye.
User disconnected from your channel.
Hi, this is Errol C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.